Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
The truth is out there, and now the Pentagon is searching for it. I'm Kelly Evans, in for Shepard Smith. This is the news on CNBC.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty.
The man who pulled the trigger on Ahmaud Arbery, convicted. Tonight, the final verdicts, plus reaction to the jury's decision.
He will now rest in peace.
Yes. Amen!
An economic stress test. Travel surging, prices on the rise for gas and gifts. Is America ready for the holiday weekend ahead?
I made a joke the other day.
Walking back a joke about China's Communist Party, what Jamie Dimon said, and why he now regrets saying it. Cracking down on UFOs, the Pentagon's new push to get control of what they call a national security threat. Warnings from officials about holiday hack attacks. Havana Syndrome may have just hit the FBI. And demand for Mrs. Claus soars as Christmas approaches.
Live from CNBC, the facts, the truth, the news with Shepard Smith.
Good evening. It was a crime captured on video, the killing of a black man in Georgia in broad daylight. Tonight, the three men charged in his murder now face the possibility of life in prison with no parole after a jury today found all three guilty. It was February 23rd, 2020. Ahmaud Arbery was out for a jog near his house in coastal Georgia when the three men pulled up in pickup trucks. Travis McMichael confronted Arbery with a shotgun, and after a brief struggle, Travis fired three shots and killed Arbery. During the trial, he took the stand, claiming he was acting in self-defense. His attorneys argued he was making a citizen's arrest because he believed Arbery had been committing burglaries. The jury not buying it. Travis was found guilty of all nine charges, and he was the only one convicted of the top charge, malice murder. That means he had a deliberate intention to kill. Travis's father, Greg McMichael, urged his son on and helped him chase Arbery. He was found guilty on eight charges, including causing Arbery's death while committing a felony. And their neighbor, William Bryan, also convicted of felony murder and other charges. He joined the hunt and filmed a video. And it was the video, this one here, that first launched this case into the national spotlight. It showed the chase, the struggle, and the fatal shot. Prosecutors only pursued the case after the video went viral last year. CNBC's Cal Perry, live outside the courthouse in Brunswick, Georgia. Cal, the Arbery family expressing relief tonight.
Absolutely. Relief is the right word. Not just the Arbery family, but supporters of the Arbery family and the community as a whole. Jubilation and relief as that verdict was read inside the courtroom. And there was, of course, relief outside the courtroom as well. As you said, the family's been waiting a long time for this verdict. In fact, four different prosecutors at one point had their hands on this case. Two actually withdrew. One is under indictment currently. It speaks to the difficult nature of both this case and what's been happening here in Brunswick, Georgia. I want to play for you a little bit more sound now from Arbery's mother. Take a listen.
Tell you the truth, I never saw this day back in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought this day would come. But God is good.
Yes, he is.
And I just want to tell everybody, thank you, thank you. Would you know him as Ahmaud? I know him as Quez.
Yes.
He will now rest in peace. Yes.
Kelly, worth noting, of course, this was a jury that comprised 11 white jurors, one African-American. That was a concern here people had. We've also heard from the president. President Biden saying, quote, nothing can bring Mr. Arbery back to his family and to his community, but the verdict ensures that those who committed this horrible crime will be punished. These three now convicted murderers will face also federal charges, federal hate crime charges. That case could start sometime next February. Kelly?
All right. Cal Perry reporting tonight. Cal, thanks. Millions of Americans on the move for the Thanksgiving holiday. Across the country, roads and airports are looking more like they did before the pandemic. On the left there, a live look at travelers in Orlando, Florida, or I should say on the right. On the left is O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, or maybe they had it right the first time. Nationwide, TSA reports it screened nearly 11 million passengers over the past 5 days. That's more than twice the number of people who passed through airports last year during the same period. But it's not just airlines gearing up for the holiday blitz. Retailers are also banking on a busy shopping season, this week seen as a major test for America's COVID recovery. We have coverage from all angles tonight. Courtney Reagan on what holiday shopping will look like this year. But first to Phil LeBeau, who's live at O'Hare Airport. Phil, so far no storms causing major cancellations. This has got to be the busiest airlines have been since the pandemic, right?
It is, Kelly. Today is expected to be the seventh straight day with at least 2 million people flying in the United States. That is the busiest week that the airline industry has seen since before the pandemic. And guess what? The busiest day yet may come on Sunday.
Phil, ticket prices are still below 2019 levels right now, so people feel like they're getting a deal, but will they stay down as Christmas approaches?
No, they won't stay down. Look, if you thought you were getting a deal, you really got a deal about 9 months ago. They have risen steadily. It's now the average domestic round-trip airfare in the U.S., $300 for Thanksgiving week, about 11% below 2019 levels. But watch out. Christmas, the average domestic fare, according to Hopper, $390. And by the way, Kelly, that's roughly on par with what we saw back in 2019.
All right. So in that sense, it's going back to normal. For driving, it's expensive. It's costing a lot more right now.
Oh, yeah. And without a doubt, $3.39 a gallon. That is well above what we were looking at a year ago when it was $2.11 a gallon. If there is any good news, it's that we have not seen prices spike up to above $4. Remember, the all-time high is $4.11. That was way back in 2008. Nobody's forecasting that. But for those people who are driving this Thanksgiving holiday, Kelly, they are noticing they're paying a lot more at the pump.
They certainly are. It is all the talk about how much it costs everyone to fill up their tanks. Phil, thank you so much tonight. We appreciate it. CNBC's Phil LeBeau. The holiday shopping season unofficially kicks off with Black Friday 2 days away. The National Retail Federation predicts holiday sales could top $850 billion this year. That would be about a 10% jump from last year. CNBC senior retail reporter Courtney Reagan now. Courtney, that's a big jump.
It is a really big jump, Kelly. And every year that online sales get bigger and doorbusters started moving earlier, we've been questioning, is Black Friday, this unofficial kickoff, is it dead? I mean, add in a pandemic and many thought, oh, that'll certainly kill Black Friday. Nope. In fact, not only is it not dead, in some ways it's been reinvigorated. 108 million Americans plan to shop on Black Friday, nearly two-thirds of them in store. That's up from just over half last year, according to the National Retail Federation. Store traffic isn't forecast to quite hit pre-pandemic levels, but it's still expected to be the biggest in-store shopping day all year. Why? Well, deals are number one, but tradition is second, especially if you're in the Midwest, whereas shoppers in the Northeast are least likely to shop Thanksgiving through Sunday, but are most likely to shop Cyber Monday, according to Numerator. Retailers say many shoppers want to get back to old habits. Target and Walmart among those calling out strong store traffic and sales going into the holidays. Plus, after closing on Thanksgiving in 2020, many retailers are doing it again. Target says it'll stay closed on Thanksgiving from now on, which means those in-store Black Friday doorbusters are really on Black Friday once again, instead of Thanksgiving night. Now, that doesn't mean that online shopping isn't important. On the contrary, it's expected to set records. Adobe forecasts online sales will hit $9.5 billion on Black Friday alone. That's up 5% from last year. Though it is below the 10% growth rate expected for the full season. Kelly?
I guess they'll play catch-up in the weeks after that. Courtney, thank you tonight. Courtney Reagan. Hackers getting to work while everybody else gets some time off. A warning from the FBI tonight. Whether by email or text, scammers will be out trying to take advantage of Americans and steal data. The government now asking shoppers and companies to keep their guard up. Here's CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers.
Kelly, the FBI is not saying that they have specific intelligence that a particular attack is coming this weekend. What they are saying is that history shows that hackers like to work on holidays. And that's why the FBI and CISA, the Cyber and Infrastructure Security Agency, are issuing this warning, saying malicious cyber actors have often taken advantage of holidays and weekends to disrupt critical networks and systems. The security firm Cyber Reason points out that many of this year's biggest attacks came over holiday weekends, including the Colonial Pipeline attack around Mother's Day, the JBS meatpacking hack Memorial Day, and the Kaseya hack on the 4th of July. So the security experts say consumers can take steps to protect themselves.
Click on nothing unless you check with the sender. Don't visit any non-work websites from work. Be careful with things like discounts and bait. And it's not a bad time to consider a present to yourself and maybe get a password vault and start to get more complex and easier to manage passwords at the same time, especially on the accounts you plan to be doing purchases from.
Companies also need to be prepared. Cyber Reason found this buzzkill in a recent survey of firms that had been hacked this year.
70% of respondents to the survey said that they had at least one drink or were intoxicated when having to respond to one of these attacks. And not only do you have a skeleton crew at that point, those who are coming online, they're not at their best, their fastest, and their most professional as a result.
So what they're saying is that employers need to watch out for staffers who've been drinking beer while watching football or sipping a little wine with their Thanksgiving dinner. One way to do that is to make sure you have an on-call team ready to go with clear heads in case there's a cyber attack. Kelly, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Eamon, as well. The FBI breaking its silence about the Havana syndrome as the CIA now sends a warning to Russia. American cities battling a rise in violent crime. Now a 180 on those calls to defund the police. Is a refund movement now afoot? And the Pentagon sworn to defend against enemies foreign and domestic. And tonight there's one more group being added to the list.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The head of the CIA sending a major warning to Russia. U.S. officials tell NBC News that CIA Director Bill Burns told Russia earlier this month that they will face consequences if they're behind the Havana syndrome. This comes as the FBI acknowledged today that some of its agents may have symptoms of the mysterious condition. Now the agency promising to offer medical care to its employees who are suffering from it. In a statement to NBC News, an FBI official wrote that while the agency, quote, does not have the authority to provide direct medical treatment, we now have a process to guide current and former employees to the interagency medical treatment and evaluation options that are available to them. Symptoms range from brain injuries to headaches. There's still no definitive cause that's been identified. Some experts suggest it's a hypersonic weapon. Others believe it's just mass hysteria. And 9 people in San Francisco facing felony charges for those smash and grabs we told you about earlier this week. The city's district attorney says 5 of the people were arrested in connection with a mob that robbed a Louis Vuitton store there on Friday. Witnesses say a pack of people stormed the store and essentially emptied it out. The DA says the robberies aren't just petty thefts, but outrageous and offensive crimes. Cops say they believe these smash and grabs are part of sophisticated criminal networks. People steal as much as they can and then just sell it online. Just this weekend, police say looters robbed and vandalized several other stores in the Bay Area. The DA said he expects more arrests to come. Another deadly shooting in Philadelphia last night. The city's homicide total this year, now just one shy of 500. That's the record high set back in 1990. Today, Philly's mayor saying getting violence under control is his top priority.
It's terrible to every morning get up and to have to look at the numbers and look at the news and see the stories. It's just craziness. It's just crazy and this needs to stop.
Other cities across the country also reporting a sharp rise in murder rates. In L.A., data shows homicides are up 14% from last year and up 45% from 2019. The police commission there now working to increase funding for the force. L.A. is the latest city trying to refund the police after the defund movement gained traction last year. Chris Burbank now, former Salt Lake City police chief, now a vice president of law enforcement strategy for the Center for Policing Equity. Chris, thanks. Cities went from defund to refund pretty quick. What do you make of the shift we're seeing?
Well, a lot of it is the misunderstanding that we all have, including police leadership, that the actions of the police actually have that much influence on crime. There are things such as education, access to health care, that have much more significant impact on crime and alternatives to incarceration as opposed to the activities that police engage in on a daily basis.
Doesn't the move to refund the police suggest the public isn't buying that?
Well, the challenge that you have is we don't understand, right? We fell into this movement of defund the police. Well, we prefer redesign the police. Let's start looking at the actions and saying, do they contribute to the outcome that we want, which is reduce crime, reduce incarceration, reduce interactions with the police, and reduce violence? If not, we need to stop engaging in that activity. We have been very poor at measuring the outcome of policing based on the actions of policing.
You know, policing is one part of this. What about the court system as well? Do prosecutors need to get more aggressive in pursuing charges?
Well, we always want to punish people, right? And the deterrent, the act of punishment, has really not changed the outcome in our society for 100 years, right? This is the death penalty argument. I mean, we can go down the road of a bunch of different places, but catching people after the fact, after they've committed the crime and punishing them, has not solved our problem. The goal of law enforcement, at least in my mind, should be to prevent disorder from occurring, not catch it after the fact.
If more cops meant that crime was lower in recent years and fewer cops has led to a spike in crime, what other conclusion are people supposed to draw?
Well, you're looking only at the last moment in time. If you look historically, right, when we had an economic crisis a number of years ago, we had 30,000 fewer police officers on the street than the year before, and violent crime plummeted. So the correlation, right, we're quick to jump when it's right there in front of us and we have this need for 24-hour, minute-by-minute update. But let's look at a little historical viewpoint and say, is it actually the actions of police that are driving the outcome?
Chris Burbank tonight. Chris, thank you so much for your time tonight. We appreciate it. Crypto scam artists using Instagram to target victims, what new CNBC reporting has uncovered. Plus, he's one of the most powerful men in the world of finance, Jamie Dimon, the brash CEO of JP Morgan. So what would make him apologize not once, but twice? The story next.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The head of the biggest bank in America apologizing today. after making a joke about China's Communist Party. At an event yesterday at Boston College, a person asked J.P. Morgan chairman and CEO Jamie Dimon a question about doing business in China. This is how he responded.
I was just in Hong Kong that I made a joke that the Communist Party is celebrating its 100th year. So is J.P. Morgan. And I'll make you bet we last longer. I can't say that in China. They probably are listening anyway.
Well, today, Mr. Dimon walked back those remarks. In a statement released by J.P. Morgan, he wrote, quote, "I regret and should not have made that comment. I was trying to emphasize the strength and longevity of our company." Hours later, Mr. Dimon issued a second apology. He said he regrets his, quote, "recent comment because it's never right to joke about or denigrate any group of people, whether it's a country, its leadership, or any part of a society and culture." DeWardrick McNeil now, managing director and senior policy analyst at Longview Global, worked at the DOD on China policy under the Obama administration. He's also a CNBC contributor. DeWardrick, thanks. Good to see you again. And doesn't this show how much power China has on the world stage right now?
Thanks for having me this evening, Kelly. I don't want to beat up Jamie Dimon, who's in the white hot lights tonight on this issue. But unfortunately, Kelly, it is the continuation of a long line of mea culpas by corporate leaders, entertainers, and in some cases, politicians all over the world who fully understand, Kelly, that China will use the size and access to its market to really work in a way that is carrots and sticks. Reward those who toe the line and punish those who do not. And Kelly, the Biden administration is going to have a real problem as they continue to try and rebalance the U.S. bilateral economic relationship with China, because there's an overdependence and in some cases, Kelly, an overexuberance from corporations and investors about access to China's market. And China knows this, Kelly, and they have weaponized market access and have turned it into quite an effective tool of economic statecraft. And this has complicated the risk, reward, and cost calculus for companies doing business in China, begging the question, are the short-term gains worth the long-term pain? And in the case of J.P. Morgan, Kelly, it is clear that Jamie Dimon, who has a lot at stake as he's looking to gain 100% control of a foreign management asset JV in China, he's made it clear from this apology twice now, as you point out, that he's all in on China despite the political and reputational risk, Kelly.
Right. I think you highlight the difficulty of this situation, especially for businesses at a time when, you know, social issues are becoming more and more important. So human rights abuses in China would seem to run afoul of what people want to see from good corporate stewardship. And yet so many companies say it's none of their business to get involved with foreign affairs and seem to also be rewarded for that stance.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, Kelly. I will tell you, though, and I'm glad you pointed this out, China does not have the only say in a situation like this. In fact, we're seeing more and more that the U.S. Congress, shareholders, journalists, and human rights activists are really calling out U.S. corporations for what they call values-based double standards, saying and doing one thing in the U.S. while turning a blind eye to the same or even worse things taking place in China. And I'll tell you something else that's troubling me, and that is this argument around moral equivalency, Kelly. It's there's problems in China, there's problems in the U.S., so therefore why criticize or expect more from China? That's disingenuous. I'll be the first one to point out there are major problems in this country. Actually, J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon pointed out the same thing, but he's not going to apologize to Biden, nor should he, for the comments that he made about the U.S. government in that speech. And so there is a double standard, and more you're seeing people call that out, Kelly.
Absolutely. A difficult situation he's now found himself in that highlights the dilemma for so many businesses and China's influence on the world stage. DeWardrick McNeil tonight. DeWardrick, thanks. A first place victory for the NFT. Tonight, the distinction that has it beating out crypto and the metaverse. And it's been 86 days since America's withdrawal from Afghanistan. Now word of new negotiations with the Taliban, as reports from the ground paint a troubling picture for those Americans left behind. Thanksgiving just around the corner. Americans preparing to gather around the table to gobble up an epic feast. But this year, our Thanksgiving favorites won't come cheap. People are paying up for turkeys, for sweet potatoes, even for pies. But the supply chain crisis and labor shortage aren't all to blame. Here's CNBC's Diana Olek.
At the pie shop in D.C., Thanksgiving orders are all filled and the pies are racking up, but so are the prices.
I would say there are a number of ingredients that on some weeks are almost double what they were last year.
Some of that is due to climate change. Take the crust. Wheat prices are now at the highest level since 2012 and up over 10% in just the past month. Severe drought in the U.S. West and Northern Plains caused what the USDA is estimating will be the worst wheat production in nearly two decades. Those high prices for wheat, as well as alfalfa, make feed costs higher, causing dairy prices to rise. Cows also produce less milk during droughts. Even honey. Wildfires in the West left honeybees with nothing to eat. States like California, Montana, Utah, and Colorado suffered huge losses of honeybee colonies in the past year due to disease, starvation, and weather. And it's not just domestic products. Prices for vanilla from Madagascar and chocolate from Brazil are also rising due to severe weather and flooding.
Now we worry about freezes in Brazil even more than we did before, or floods in China. And so we can't run and hide anymore from global severe weather events because they're all part of the food chain. We're all trading them simultaneously.
And that is hitting small businesses especially hard.
Usually Thanksgiving is where we're able to make a little extra money to cushion us for the slow winter. However, this year, I'm not so sure that it will really even be profitable.
And in 12 years in the pie business, she hasn't raised her prices much because
there's only so much you can really charge for a pie or a slice of pie.
All eyes are now on winter in the West and specifically the snowpack. If it's heavy, that could help farmers out with their crops next year. But if not, it will only mean higher prices for all that high-end produce we love to put in our pies. Kelly.
Diana Olek reporting tonight. The number of Americans filing for unemployment hits a 52-year low. That's what's topping CNBC's On the Money. New jobless claims coming in at just 199,000, according to the Labor Department. It's a number not seen since November 1969. This positive data comes amid surging inflation and supply chain disruptions. John Deere posting record profit, that despite the month-long worker strike that ended last week. The farm equipment maker posted an annual net income of nearly $6 billion, more than double its earnings from last fiscal year. The 10,000 union member strike only covered the last 2 weeks of Deere's fiscal year, so the cost of the strike was not disclosed in today's earnings report. And the word of the year is NFT, the abbreviation of non-fungible token, named 2021's top word by Collins Dictionary. Until recently, most people, including myself, barely knew what an NFT was. But its meteoric rise helped make it an easy pick for the top spot, and it beat out words like crypto, metaverse, and pandemic. Pandemic. On Wall Street, the Dow dropping 9 points today, the S&P up 11, the Nasdaq gained 70 to snap a two-day losing streak. I'm Kelly Evans, in for Shepard Smith. It's half past the hour. Here's what's making the news on CNBC.
Unexplained objects in the sky, threatening national security, the Pentagon's new push to investigate UFO sightings. Crypto scammers targeting your Instagram, the new CNBC reporting into their scheme. But first, the U.S. set to head back to the negotiating table with the Taliban.
The United States envoy for Afghanistan set to head back to Qatar to meet with the Taliban next week. A State Department spokesperson says they plan to talk about the humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan and take steps to make sure it does not become a launching pad for terrorism. He says they'll also discuss getting any American citizens out of Afghanistan safely, nearly 3 months after that chaotic withdrawal from the country. Now, it comes as the Taliban tightens its grip on society there. Just this week, the group laid out new guidelines for media, banning TV shows from featuring women actors and requiring women journalists to wear the Islamic hijab. Matt Zeller joins me now. He's a Truman Project fellow, a former army captain in Afghanistan, and co-founder of No One Left Behind. That's a group working to get Afghans who helped the United States out of the country. Matt, it's great to have you here. Could you first give us an update on those efforts? What have you heard from people on the ground?
Well, Kelly, the reality is that things are just as we feared. The Taliban are just as evil as they were before. You just reported on some of that. As we have feared, they have been hunting the people that we left behind down and murdering them and their families. When people, for example, try to go to get a passport, they have to submit their biometric information to the Taliban government. The Taliban government then take that information and they run it against a database that we left behind, that we warned had been left behind. And individuals who work for us were in that database. Individuals who worked for the Afghan security forces and the Afghan government, who are our spies, they're all in that database. And when they pop up in that database as someone who used to be associated with us, the Taliban murdered them. So here's the reality. We count some 185,000 people that we estimate were left behind. I know of about 1,000 or so that have been able to, we've been able to extract since the 31st of August. And I'm glad that we have a delegation going to Qatar, but what the president needs to do is plug in with the veterans community, recognize that we are hurting, that we're not just dedicated to trying to get American citizens out, but we're trying to get our brothers and sisters that we feel we left behind out, and that we're not going to stop until that his mission is accomplished. I'm glad that they're going to negotiate, because winter is what we fear most right now. The winter is going to kill more people than the Taliban could ever hope to with their bombs and bullets. You know, people are going to die of starvation and exposure. So there's a deal to be made here. Fuel in exchange for our people. The Taliban are very transactional. They will understand that. And that's what I'm hoping people will be proposing at this summit. I have no idea what they'll be proposing.
To your point, you know, we heard one dad even tell NBC's Richard Engel that he had to sell his daughter so he could afford food for his family. At what point do more international institutions step in here?
That's a great point. You know, the International Monetary Fund and the World Food Program and the World Bank really need to step in. The international community fed, fueled, and basically financed Afghanistan for the last 20 years. And the reality is that since we've left the country as a global community, as of the 31st of August, the Taliban have not been able to replace that. And people are going to die by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions. It's going to be that desperate in Afghanistan in the coming months if the global community doesn't step up. So if it's not the U.S., it needs to be done by, again, entities like the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the World Food Program. I would be remiss if I didn't mention one more thing, which is that there is a wonderful opportunity that's coming out of Congress that no one is tracking, that veterans are tracking, and we're hoping that the president is going to be supporting, and that if there's an Afghan commission that the Senate has passed, it's now currently before the House, thanks to Representatives Andy Kim and Pete Meyer. It's bipartisan across the board. It's modeled after the 9/11 commission. And the intent of this commission is to ensure that we learn from our mistakes, that we get accountability for what happened, but most importantly, that we prevent this calamity from ever happening again in the future. We're really hoping it passes Congress this December and that the president supports it.
Matt Zeller, thanks for shining a light on that effort tonight and for all your other efforts to help in Afghanistan. We thank you for joining us. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says he's appalled by what a human rights group calls the biggest loss of life in the English Channel. Officials say at least 31 migrants, including a young girl, drowned today after their boat sank off the coast of Calais, France. Crews rescued just two people from the frigid waters and rushed them to the hospital. One person is still missing. It's still unclear where the migrants are from. Both Prime Minister Johnson and French President Emmanuel Macron vowed today to prevent future crossings and stop human trafficking gangs. Cryptocurrency investment scams are on the rise. Americans reported losing more than $80 million to cons from October 2020 through March 2021. That's 10 times more than the same period a year earlier, according to the FTC. And experts say the scammers often rely on social media. They steal users' photos and videos to create fake profiles and then lure in victims with the promise of huge returns on a crypto investment. In fact, the FTC said victims reported losing $2 million just to Elon Musk impersonators. I've seen them myself on Twitter. But the fraudsters aren't just using celebrity images. Experts say anyone with a public profile could be impersonated. And so far, there's not much being done to prevent it from happening. Here's CNBC's Andrea Day.
Instagram influencer Brandy Morgan started her account to connect with other women in tech. So my real profile is Miss Brenny Morgan. There wasn't a ton of females showcasing, you know, programming or, you know, coding on Instagram. So that was the original story behind the account.
Photos of Morgan working at her computer with inspirational captions have attracted 56,000 followers, but they've also grabbed the attention of scammers.
I feel like a lot of these have been taken. A lot of times my followers will send me, be like, this person either just reached out to me or I just saw your photo on this account. And that's usually how I find out about it.
Morgan says there's been so many imposter accounts using her photos to push crypto scams, she posted videos on her account to explain.
It's sad because these people that are stealing my photos are tricking people to give them money, and people are losing money over it. And then they actually find me on this profile, which is my real profile, my only profile, and then they get mad at me and harass me for taking their money when I didn't.
When we spoke with Morgan, there were at least seven accounts using her photos under different made-up names.
Gina Ford, trade with Kim 1, which is Kimberly Wilson, trade with Ashley 11, Bryson Cortez, trade with Williams, Ashley FX _ trade. There's invest with Jennifer Lopez. That's a good one.
Morgan says the process of having imposters removed isn't easy. And sometimes Instagram doesn't remove them at all.
This has been happening for years and Instagram does nothing about it.
It's scary and it feels like a huge, I don't know, violation because that's not me. But it looks like me saying those things. And so that's worse to me because they're trying to actually solicit for money and to scam these people with my photos.
Another Instagrammer, Jason Salmon, says he sees around 25 fake Instagram accounts a week using his photos.
So I produce a lot of content around the crypto space. I describe myself as like a crypto evangelist.
And all of Salmon's real pics that feature Bitcoin make him a prime target for imposters who have even stolen photos that feature Salmon with his family.
It's super creepy. And they'll even sometimes like make up their own captions for things, you know, and like, oh, I'm so happy with my family now that I made all this money from mining. They actually tag my wife in their photos.
And it gets worse. Salmon says he's received threats from people who have lost thousands of dollars to imposters using his photos to scam them.
Oh yeah, I've gotten like threats like, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna beat you up, you know, like they're like, oh, I know where you live, and like all these type of things.
He says victims reach out to him a few times a week, and like Morgan, Salmon's frustrated that sometimes Instagram doesn't help.
There's like a little function inside of Instagram where you can report an account. You'll kind of go through a couple steps. You report it as an impersonation account, and then they'll review it. And so sometimes it could take them as little as like 2 hours to respond. Sometimes it takes days. Sometimes they never respond.
When CNBC reached out to Instagram for the story, sharing the fake accounts impersonating Salmon and Morgan, the company deleted them all. And in a statement, Instagram said, claiming to be another person on Instagram violates our community guidelines, and we have a dedicated team to detect and block these kinds of scams. We know there's more to do here, which is why we keep working to prevent abuse and keep our community safe. That detection and blocking system not always working like it should. Morgan and Salmon have reported imposters through the app, and sometimes Instagram's so-called dedicated team replies that the fake account will not be removed because it doesn't go against community guidelines. And when the company fails to remove an imposter account, frustrated Instagram users have no means to escalate the issue because one of the largest social networks in the world has no helpline or customer service. More bad news. These crypto scammers are spreading on other platforms too. Morgan and Salmon say they already have more than a dozen TikTok impersonators pushing crypto too. In a statement, TikTok said, "We strive to protect the integrity of our platform and authenticity of our amazing community, which is why we remove accounts that deceptively impersonate others and encourage people to report content or accounts they believe violate our community guidelines." Though several of Salmon's imposters remain active, and even more have emerged since TikTok's review of the accounts.
And Kelly, Morgan and Salmon aren't the only victims here. We've also spoken with people lured in by imposters who've lost a lot of money. One of Salmon's impersonators convinced a man from Texas to invest in Bitcoin with him. Now, in the end, the scammer took off with $20,000. Kelly?
Wow, an important story, Andrea, reporting tonight. And the CEO of Instagram is set to testify on Capitol Hill next month. It'll actually be Adam Mosseri's first time before Congress. Senator Richard Blumenthal confirming the news to CNBC. Mosseri will appear before a Senate panel on December 6th as part of a series on protecting kids online. Instagram has come under fire after a Facebook whistleblower claimed the company knew its platform could be toxic for teens. Facebook has called the whistleblower's claims misleading and has defended its business. The Pentagon unveiling a brand new team called the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. In English, we've got ourselves official UFO hunters. Flying saucers and alien invaders, beware. And the only unsolved plane hijacking in U.S. history, 50 years later. D.B. Cooper has yet to be found dead or alive. Next, a crime historian on why we're still searching for answers half a century on. The Pentagon is now cracking down on UFOs. Really? The Department of Defense announced last night that it's creating a new group to investigate reports of UFOs in restricted airspace. They say it's because they pose a potential flight risk to air crews and could raise national security concerns. This all comes after a report compiled in June revealed the Pentagon could not explain 143 incidents of UFO sightings, and that 18 of them appeared to demonstrate advanced technology. CNBC's Valerie Castro looked into the Pentagon's new plans.
The unexplained and unidentified has intrigued the public and presidents alike, including President Obama on the Late Late Show with James Corden.
The truth is that when I came into office, I asked, right? I was like, all right, you know, is there the lab somewhere where we're keeping the alien specimens in spaceship.
Joking aside, the Pentagon has now formed an agency to investigate who and what else might be out there through the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. The DOD says its mission to detect, identify, and attribute objects of interest in special use airspace and to assess and mitigate any associated threats to safety of flight and national security. Calls for more investigations into mysterious objects captured by military planes grew after a government report released in June revealed that 143 out of 144 objects recorded in the sky since 2004 couldn't be explained.
It's extremely disturbing to think that after spending hundreds of billions of dollars for so many years and believing our airspace to be secure, in fact, we've had vehicles operating in restricted military airspace with impunity on a recurring and sustained basis for many years.
While the military will now seek to explain what has already been captured on camera, NASA will continue to search for the unknown.
If you have a universe that is 13.5 billion years old, it is so big, is there another chance for another sun and another planet that has an atmosphere like ours? I would say yes.
The Department of Defense says it will issue more guidance in the coming weeks that will include some details about its yet-to-be-named future director. Kelly?
And what was the name of that group again?
Don't ask me to repeat it because I can't tell you.
Clearly, UFO hunting was not going to fly. Right. Valerie, thank you so much tonight. Valerie Castro. Well, 5 decades ago today, the most famous unsolved airline crime in history took place. On November 24th, 1971, a passenger with sunglasses, a black tie, and a ticket booked under the name of Dan Cooper boarded a Northwest Orient airline flight in Portland headed for Seattle. This is the FBI sketch of that man released in 1971. After ordering a drink, Cooper said he had a bomb and demanded $200,000 and 4 parachutes when the plane reached Seattle. Once there, he was given those items, and Cooper's fellow passengers disembarked. Cooper then instructed the crew to fly him to Mexico City, but he jumped out of the plane over Southwest Washington, never to be heard from again. His identity has also never been confirmed. Crime historian Eric Euless joins me now. He has investigated and searched for D.B. Cooper for more than a decade. Eric, after all this time, is there any better idea who he actually was and what happened to him?
First of all, Kelly, thank you very much for being here, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot that we've learned about Cooper very recently, basically due to science. First of all, I think it's pretty clear that the guy survived and that he got away with it. Pardon me. I think the other thing is I think it's pretty clear now that D.B. Cooper probably came from the aerospace sector, probably somehow are related to Boeing. I don't think Boeing specifically, but if I were to hazard a guess, I would say look at Pratt & Whitney in Connecticut or something along those lines. That seems to be a pretty solid indication where D.B. Cooper actually came from.
Why do people think that $200,000 was never even spent?
That's a very good question, and it's really a mystery within a mystery. Obviously, $6,000 was found on a beach about 8 years later, all rotted and decayed, but original rubber band still in place. And interestingly, about 20 miles from where they believe D.B. Cooper actually jumped, which I think is another sign that proves that D.B. Cooper actually survived the thing. As to the remaining $194,000, it does appear that it wasn't spent. It seems likely that if he had spent the $194,000 at some point, one of those serial numbers, which were recorded, by the way, would have popped up somewhere. Having said that, I think it is possible that perhaps 10 or 15,000 of it was spent over a period of time and just went unnoticed.
Given that he apparently got away with it, who knows what happened to him ever since, are you a little surprised no one else has tried to pull this stunt?
Well, there were a few people that actually tried to pull the stunt after D.B. Cooper, none of whom were successful. So I think there were a few people that tried it for a couple of years, and then people just gave up. Obviously, 1971 was a completely different environment on a number of different levels than 2021. So I just don't think it's feasible for a D.B. Cooper in 2021 to get away with it like he did in 1971.
What is your best guess about whatever happened to him?
I think he survived. I think he got away with it. As to what happened after he collected the money that he buried, I believe, temporarily on the beach there, the $6,000 that he left behind notwithstanding, really, it's anybody's guess. I have absolutely no idea.
That's a true unsolved mystery. Eric, happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Eric Mulis. Santa gets a lot of attention this time of year, rightly so. Delivering presents worldwide is no small feat. But this Christmas, the North Pole has a new star, Mrs. Claus. After years of toiling away behind the scenes, Mrs. Claus is headlining her own show, sponsored by the Labor Crunch. Plus, it may be the most controversial call in football history. The Thanksgiving dish Patriots star Matt Judon says needs to be taken off the table. Folks, the labor shortage has officially hit the North Pole. Last week, we told you about the warning from Santa Claus. May not be enough of him to make those usual pre-Christmas appearances at malls or holiday parties. But not to worry, Mrs. Claus is stepping in to help. Here's CNBC's Kate Rogers.
The post-pandemic surge of holiday cheer has left too many parties and not enough Christmas characters. So as a shortage of Santas is being felt across the country, requests for Mrs. Claus are taking off.
Mrs. Claus is doing everything she can to help save Christmas.
Call them independent women.
Mrs. Clauses are being requested more every year because they become more independent of Santa, having to do certain Christmas parties with cookies and stories. They're becoming true storytellers and entertainers.
But moving from supporting cast to spotlight takes dedication and education. Enter the Santa Nanas Holiday University. Leaders host events for current and aspiring Mrs. Clauses across the country. For $230, you get a 2.5-day intensive course on how to define your Mrs. Claus style, the art of performing,
to keep them engaged and using props,
and even how to best market your Christmas brand.
We just talk about, well, what would you do in this situation, this wonderful thing happened, and we can all get excited. And one Mrs. Claus's excitement is very catching. And, you know, it's contagious. And then pretty soon we're all excited.
With this new demand comes the inevitable fight for equity.
In some cases, I was getting barely anything. So in some places, it's almost three times the amount, but it's still almost half of what Santa makes at this point. But we're working on that.
And if you miss your chance to see the big man or the missus, Santa says you're covered.
Whether you're able to see Santa or not, Santa's coming. We're going to be there this year. COVID or no COVID, we'll be coming down the chimney.
We're here at Westfield Center in San Francisco. It's already busy with shoppers getting out for the holiday season. There's no Mrs. Claus here on site, Kelly, but those Santa Nanas you heard from in that piece say they're ready to capitalize on the opportunity this season and for many years to come.
You better hide, Kate. They're going to come for you if they need extra help.
They might. I don't know if I'm old enough yet, but maybe next year.
Kate Rogers reporting tonight. And now some inflation news we're happy to report. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade balloons are ready to go. 15 balloons and 36 inflatables got the wind knocked into them today, all ahead of the big event tomorrow. The parade will follow its usual 2.5-mile route through Manhattan this year. That's after the pandemic downsized the celebrations to just a block in 2020. Macy's also adding some new floats, including that Baby Yoda balloon from the hit show The Mandalorian. You can catch the performances and see all 28 floats on Thanksgiving morning at 9 a.m. only on NBC and streaming on Peacock. And Thanksgiving can bring out some strong emotions, thoughts about gratitude, family, and of course, food. Everyone seems to have a favorite and a least favorite dish. Turns out New England Patriots star defender Matt Judon has a particularly strong opinion about mac and cheese. Yesterday, he gave reporters a passionate plea to get rid of the dish this Thanksgiving.
We got to get macaroni and cheese off the table. All right, guys. It's just cheese and noodles. All right, I'm getting on my soap opera. It's just cheese and noodles, and it's not that good. Every time I try it, it's the same thing. And it's never going to change, and it's never going to get better. All right? I'm almost 30 now. I'm pretty set in my ways, and it's disgusting. My brothers and sisters, my mom cooking, big pan, they know not to put it on my plate. Or that's fighting words, all right? I'm going to have to fight everybody in the house one by one. And I'm going to wait till they eat their macaroni and cheese, get sluggish, and then I'm going to whoop.
Truth is, I'm not really a mac and cheese fan myself. Anyway, Judon's comments have been widely debated online. The Patriots field crew apparently delivered these boxes of Kraft Deluxe mac and cheese to his locker with a bow. We reached out to comment on the subject from celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay. He has a very famous mac and cheese recipe, but we haven't heard back. Clearly, Judon has never tried my neighbor Monica McCabe's mac and cheese because that would change his opinion. 50 seconds left now in a race to the finish tonight. Three men have been convicted for the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. All three now face the possibility of life in prison without parole. The CIA director warning Russia there will be consequences if the country is found to be responsible for the Havana syndrome. Millions of Americans hitting the road and the skies for the Thanksgiving holiday. No major storms or reports of any major delays nationwide, at least yet. TSA says travel is close to pre-COVID levels. And now you know the news of this Wednesday, November 24th, 2021. I'm Kelly Evans in for Shepard Smith tonight. Have a healthy, a happy and healthy Thanksgiving filled with mac and cheese. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to the CNBC podcast, The News with Shepard Smith. You can always catch us live weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.